Well, happy new year. Happy 50th show anniversary.
New year, new me.
Healthy you.
Well, yes, exactly, right? I'm rejuvenated me. Not a new me. I'm still kind of an a-hole. That'll never change.
That was absolutely the coldest and the shortest, coldest open we've ever had.
Of course it was cold. It's because of the cyclone bomb, John.
It's going off everywhere in New England.
Oh, my God. Everyone's freezing. Iguanas are falling out of trees in Florida. What's going on?
Snow in Tallahassee. They had several inches of snow in South Carolina. The world is topsy-turvy right now.
Meanwhile, it's 75 degrees here in Los Angeles. Suck it, East Coast.
But have the fires calmed down?
Yeah, the fires are all out. It's a little hazy, though, and I will say, I found myself a little brisk at night. It was in the 50s. It was a little brisk.
Are you rubbing it in?
Hey, I'm no Louis C.K., but... Yeah, I'm rubbing it in.
No, I have family back in Connecticut, and they're dealing with the cold. Schools were delayed for a couple of hours for a few days because it was too cold to get the heaters cranked up in time for the kids. And now they're off again today and probably will be tomorrow. It's just chaos.
Yeah, it's freezing and snowing and blizzardy, and New York's all shut down. And that's, of course, where my home is. And, well, home is where the heart is. And my heart is in my chest, and my chest is in Los Angeles. But our real home, where we have our more permanent residence, is in New York. And man, the stories coming out of there are just nuts. Part of me wants to be there. Part of me wants to be like, have it all going on around me, because we don't commute or anything. So it's not like, oh, we're stuck in the snow. We could just look and like looking at gladiators in the field battling each other, cars careening down the roads and.
Right, you have a like a hot cup of hot cocoa and a
iguanas falling from buildings
in
New York. That doesn't really happen, but anyway.
But the iguana thing is real. When I lived in Florida, we had a couple of deep freezes, and the iguanas basically would fall out of trees.
Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, they have a it's a cyclone bomb. They're calling it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here in California, thanks to legalized marijuana, we're having a cyclone bong.
Well, the
That's
legalized
a little joke
marijuana
I just made up
thing,
right now, John.
It is. It was good. But the marijuana thing is kind of like, not really, but in jeopardy because of Jeff Sessions' decree today to roll back the Obama leniency stuff that was, I don't know all the details behind it, but, you know, all the pot states are up in an uproar over it.
Are they?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, or are they just getting up to eat more snacks?
They're just kind of like, dude, don't be messing with
bogus!
Me, dude.
Jeff Sessions, you are a bogus dude.
Pass another bong hit over this way, man.
Look, I'm going to tell you something about Jeff Sessions. They're not going to repeal that. It's not going to affect anything. I think what they're going to wind up doing is making it just a state issue. And because it is a state issue, because that's the way the Constitution's built.
Right.
And then just each state can decide whether they want to have legalized recreational or legalized medical or whatever. But California now has legalized recreational.
Right. As of 2 days ago.
These are high times.
Well, this is the 50th episode.
That's
of
right.
Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
This is the Sid Fernandez edition.
Sid Fernandez. Nice.
It was the only 50 that I could find that was worthy of consideration. I think Adam Wainwright is a 50, but he's not. He hasn't been around long enough to garner status. But
Sid's got that nice sentimentality thing.
Yeah.
For us older guys.
Right.
If I was like in my 20s, which I am not, I would probably say Adam Wainwright. And then I would be like, you are a bogus dude. John Sumple.
Pass the bong.
Pass me my bong. I'm going to take a couple rips off of the marijuana.
Okay, let's jump into headlines. This is probably
Why not?
The earliest we've jumped into headlines in a while. We usually fill up the first 10 minutes.
Oh, you know
what?
We usually fill it up with talking about how bad the new Star Wars movie is.
Oh, that's right. You did, and you did see it over the weekend or the holiday week, didn't you?
I was ill, and as soon as I was no longer ill, we went out and saw it,
and
I quickly became ill again.
Oh, you didn't like it?
There was, other than the fact that it's the best looking Star Wars in the history of the Star Wars franchise, there was absolutely nothing else that I liked about it.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't like Leia floating in space?
I was infuriated. What's that?
You didn't like Leia floating in space?
You mean floating in space for like 3 hours and then like, you know what? That's right. I've got the Force. I'll go back to the ship and I'll float awkwardly back to the ship.
Just like iguanas falling out of trees.
She was a Florida iguana. Launched into space, John. We didn't even know it at the time.
Yeah.
Look, spoiler alert, it's not a very good movie.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Look, I have no problem with someone enjoying it, but in terms of it actually being a good movie, I have a problem with someone trying to assert that notion.
Well, my issue with it is all these fanboys who are up in arms over the fact that it didn't follow the storyline that they hoped it would. That it's not the expanded universe. And it's like, well, you know, when you have the money and the support to make the film you want to make, have at it. But
yeah, but also, what if they just made a good movie instead of like making a garbage movie and like destroying one of the great characters in the history of film in Luke Skywalker, turning him into a whiny old bitch? What about massive plot holes and absolutely ridiculous side trips that wind up being for nothing and actually harming the rest of the story. I'm just saying, John, I don't want to sit here and ruin this movie for everyone else because deep down, everyone knows it was already ruined.
Well, the one scene that I would agree that kind of was this, it was like, we're going to go to the casino planet for the sole purpose of having the cantina scene redone.
Yeah, for the sole purpose of seeing Justin Theroux for 10 seconds. And then getting Benicio del Toro, who was doing the sequel to Usual Suspects, apparently.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, that character just kind of like, okay, so what's going on
here?
And then that little, you know, the scene at the end with him was a little bit. But that the way they set that up, though, is you know he's going to be in the next one.
Sure.
In some capacity.
So but do we know that? Because I feel like a lot of the things that we knew from the first reboot didn't happen. And I think they spent too much time in the film trying to go like, oh, what are people expecting? Okay, well, let's do the opposite of that. Hey, what if Poe was like a good leader of people that made smart decisions? No, let's go the other way. Let's make him awful. Let's make him almost genocidal own goal. Madman pilot. How about that? What if we did that? What if
he just likes to shoot things? He lives and everyone else dies.
He lives, and I'm telling you, John, 90% of the people that die in this film die because of him. That is a weird thing for a lead character who's a good guy.
Right. Poe's revenge.
Normally, it's like, oh, like, that's the bad guy. Let's all get him. Darth Vader killed people. No, it's just this reckless pilot who can't think one move ahead of what he's doing.
Well, the other thing that they had that was a surprise, and that this isn't the Star Wars podcast, but and we're not doing too many spoilers. We're talking in generalities, and you won't be disappointed based on what we're sharing. But
if someone hasn't seen it by now, who cares? They're not going to see it.
Yeah, it's like, already made, well, it's already made $600 million, so I think it's good.
Yeah.
So the whole thing with we were left on pins and needles after the last one, wondering where Rey came from.
Right.
And this, apparently she comes from nowhere.
Nowhere. Also, John, of note, anyone can have the Force, according to Luke Skywalker. Cool, nothing special about it. That's great. That's what I remember the most about the original films.
Right. Yeah, and even Yoda comes back. No big deal. Let's burn this motherfucker down.
Yeah, you mean Snarky Yoda?
Yeah, Snarky Yoda.
Snarky Yoda, who apparently has been hanging out with a bunch of hipsters up in Jedi Heaven or whatever.
He's been in California with the bong hitters. That's
exactly. Like, where is this? Where's like the dark, you know, foreboding Yoda, which sounds, I know that sounds weird. Like, why do you care? I just care because why is he being a goofball?
Right.
Why is
he being especially so... that little snickering thing that he did.
What is even going on here?
Yeah, there were a couple of things. I mean, one of the things that I like about the last three films is that they're not all green screen stuff, you know, and it just,
John, it is a beautiful film.
It is.
It is. I mean, honestly, that got me through Prometheus, because I watch Prometheus now and I am freaking flabbergasted at how bad the storytelling is. But it's so gorgeous to look at.
Yeah.
And this is a gorgeous film. See?
And your dog agrees.
Yeah. My porg.
Porg? Why is it a porg? What's a porg?
From the Star Wars film, John.
Oh, those little...
Come on, John!
I didn't know
what you call yourself a Star Wars fan? And you don't have 2 dozen of those little things that were playing with Chewbacca in 3 scenes that Chewbacca
cooked? Over again? The sole purpose of their existence in the film was for merchandising rights.
I'm going to tell you something right now, John. If I was making a movie like this, I would do the exact goddamn same thing. And I would say, just give me 5%. That's all I want.
Right. And that's what...
I'll write your porgs into my film.
And what about those milk-bearing cow thing?
Please. Hilarious. Just hilarious.
Especially that side eye that it gave Rey. It's like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Rey's like, whoa.
And let's be very clear. Rey is awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
That is an amazing actress, and she has got personality plus and charisma to boot, and she's spectacular. And I didn't really have a problem really with any of the individual actors in it. I just thought that the storytelling was just so like, what is going on here? It felt very much like the prequels to me. Like, what are they doing? That doesn't make sense. Why would you do that? You wouldn't do that also. Also, why are bombs dropping in space, John?
That's true. They're weighted bombs?
No, it wouldn't matter. They could weigh 1,000,000 pounds. It wouldn't matter. They'd have to have
homemade
jets
devices.
On them.
Magnets.
Oh, magnet bombs. Okay, good. that don't magnetize to each other or to other ships. Sound good.
I suspend my reality and beliefs in science when I go to watch science fiction films.
Wait, speaking of suspending disbelief, let's talk about baseball.
So let's dig into this week's headlines. And
speaking of suspension of disbelief, Eric Hosmer, what?
Getting the big bucks. And actually, there's going to be a bidding war because the Padres are in on it too, although it looks like the Royals offered a little bit more.
Yeah. Okay, this is like the weirdest free agent story that I've heard of, big budget, big bucks free agent story I've heard of in like the last 10 years. So the last place Padres and the second to last place Royals are getting in a bidding war for a questionably skilled first baseman. And the home team looks like they'll have to actually pay more at $147 million for 7 years for a player whose wins above replacement over the last 6 years have ranged anywhere from zero. You heard me, 0 to 4.
The Royals consider that the home team discount.
You know what? And maybe it is a home team discount overpay. In Kansas City to have to pay an extra $1 million a year to not live in San Diego.
Right, right. So it's like we're going to pay you $7 million more to live here versus San Diego.
Do you ever wonder when people are listening to this podcast if they're like, great, finally they're talking about baseball. Or if they're just like, I hope they stop talking about baseball at some point here.
I actually think it's a combination of the two. I think we have an audience of casual baseball fans.
Or what if it's both? What if it's like, oh, will they just talk about baseball at some point? And then we start talking about baseball and they're like, yeah, I'd rather hear more about Star Wars. These two jerks don't know what they're talking about.
Yes, I have often thought that.
And another thing, John, about Eric Hosmer.
Is?
What? $147 million. Also, the Padres would lose a draft pick.
Oh, that's
come
why
on.
That's why they're that's the $7 million difference.
Come on. I can't find an octave. I can't find you know what the octave is? It's Mariah Carey.
Okay.
Who, by the way, if Mariah Carey's performance on New Year's Eve this year is any indication for the coming year compared to last year, which was a full-blown disaster, maybe this year Her good performance means that things are going well, except already the first 3 days have been a complete zoo in the United States. So maybe
it's
not.
It has been a clown show.
Of biblical proportions.
Yes.
Pretty fantastic. We had a state legislator today picked by drawing their name out of a bowl.
Yes. It's how did we get to this again?
This is America. The Democrat and the Republican in Virginia tied. Their votes tied. And so the rule there is you draw the name out of a hat and that's the winner.
But she has the opportunity to request a recount.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. They've already did the recount.
On and on and on and on.
It doesn't matter. I thought the other day, though, he conceded when he thought that he had lost by the one vote. And so, but maybe he was like, well, now that it's tied. You know what? Look, shouldn't we all complain when they're drawing politicians' names out of a hat?
Yeah,
that's a problem. Or maybe that's just how they should do it, John.
It'd be fast. Save a lot of money.
Do you think it would really make much difference? Come on.
No. I don't think it would make much difference if we had animals in those positions. Or children.
Or frozen or iguanas. Both. Come on.
It would not make much of a difference.
Yeah.
And the other big free agent signing news, CC Sabathia coming back home to the Yankees.
That's not the big news. The Wade Davis one is the big news.
I was kidding.
Oh, you mean big because he's big.
Big and because it's really not that big because everybody expected it.
You mean
because,
voluptuous. The voluptuous free agent signing.
Yes.
The plus sized free agent signing.
But the effective CC Sabathia, the nibbler, the location expert.
Oh, he nibbles.
Quite a bit, right? But, you know, it's a good, nice sign
for
the Yankees.
I've talked a lot of crap about him, but it does seem like since he got off the booze, that he's really squared himself around as a pitcher and is a valuable asset to any starting rotation. I think he could have gotten more money to go somewhere else, and he went to the Yankees because he's just like, you know what? Let's just keep it going.
Keep it going.
They were so close last year.
Yeah, and you guys did me right when I went through my stuff.
Exactly.
But yeah, the Rockies.
When he was boozing it up.
Yeah, the Rockies are building the bullpen for the ages.
Yeah. I'm not sure I agree with this strategy, but then I know the Rockies are just like, if you were managing the Rockies, so they signed Wade Davis, who was the closer for the Cubs and previous before that, the Royals. One of the better closers in baseball, and they signed him to, I think, a record-setting per-year deal, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 3 years, 50-something. So more per year than Kenley Jansen and more per year than Aroldis Chapman. So, But the Rockies are like, if you're the general manager of a mile-high team, you got to try stuff, right? Like, so I think they're probably thinking five innings from the starting pitcher and then
bullpen by committee, yeah.
Well, I don't think it'll be by committee. I think Davis will be the closer. But I think they're going to have like just throw a bunch of relievers out there.
But they have some swing now have three former closers or three qualified closers on their
Yeah.
So they're it's going to be interesting.
I don't agree with the move for them. Like, I think that's too much money to spend, but you can't get a starting pitcher, and clearly the relievers don't mind going to play in Colorado for insane amounts of money.
Yeah, plus weed's free.
Oh, that's right. They got the weed.
The weed. It's an incentive. It's not free, but it's legal. So they enjoy it.
It's free. Free of prison.
Right.
There's no prison attachment.
Prison-free weed.
There's no prison tax.
Isn't that Colorado's new slogan? Come to Colorado. We've got prison-free weed.
Hey.
Should be.
I'm sure it's working for some people.
So besides our free agent signings, we had, and I don't know if you read all the details about this story about Miguel Sano with his.
Yeah, I did. It's weird.
It's pretty bad.
Especially
the denial. The denial is like, no, I this is a fabricate. I'm like, wow, that's one hell of a fabrication.
Yeah, it's such a specific thing. The problem is it's one of the he said, she said, right? He's flat out denying it.
There was two other people who were there. So
yeah, but there weren't two people there when he was doing the really inappropriate stuff.
Okay. Okay.
And look, what does this girl have to gain
right
from come out whatever?
And, yeah.
Like, it's I mean, I know some people jump on, like, oh, well, she's just jumping on, trying to become famous. This is like a photojournalist. This isn't someone who's trying to get her own reality show or something like that. Like, it's just a photojournalist who, or during the wave of, you know, these people outing, and I don't want outing, that makes it sound bad, but like coming, you know.
The Me Too.
Yeah, the Me Too wave, right? And like, you know, these bad things happened to me, and this other person was a jerk. And like, it's just such a weird thing because it's, first of all, what a jerk.
Right.
If he did this, which I do tend to believe the woman in this case, because it's the allegations are so specific.
Yeah.
And some aspects of them are corroborated. Like, what a jerk. Like,
yeah, everything's been corroborated to that back hallway.
Right.
And from that back hallway. So, right. I don't know.
Just what happened in the back hallway. But like, you know, young, and I don't want to say Latin American, but you know, Latin American guys a little bit more frisky,
racy, and innuendo is, I mean, it's all over Sábado Gigante. All you have to do is watch a little Telemundo, and you're aware of how much
maybe he just thought he was in a telenovela. Maybe that's what he thought he was doing.
maybe.
But the weird thing, like, it's always like, it's like the Ben Roethlisberger stuff. Like, I don't want to dig up his whole thing, but like,
but let's do.
Do these guys just, are they not able to just get trim? Because like, pardon me, that's the word trim. Are they just not able to get ass? What is going on here? Like, you're a famous person. That's what this country is built on, is famous people being able to get ass whenever they want. You don't have to force yourself on anyone.
He was just doing a Trump thing.
Well, okay, now hold on a second. Now, I want to be very clear that the Trump thing is something he talked about doing.
But,
and that's different
did.
Than actually doing it. Because it's just locker room talk, John.
It's all good.
I tried to hold that as long as I could. Anyway, that's the president of the United States. A little respect for our president, John.
Okay.
Our game show host president. Okay. The one that's threatening nuclear war on Twitter. Okay. A little respect for the man. All right?
Yes. My buddy.
Sorry, I don't want to sound like I'm anti-Trump. Whatever, I am anti-Trump, but I don't want to sound like it. If you like Trump, that's fine. But just admit it, you just don't like Hillary, and I have no problem with that.
Right.
And if you like him,
just
listen to another
podcast.
People
that voted for Hillary because they didn't like Trump, not because she was most qualified. So it was one of those arm wrestling
And then her house caught on fire. Do you hear about this?
No, Hillary's house?
Yeah, the Clinton's house in Chappaqua caught on fire, and the fire started in, of all places, the bedroom, if you can believe that.
It was the
so
server,
either one of two things was happening.
Up?
Either a server overheated or the Clintons decided to have sex for the first time and there was a little too much friction down in that
region of the
fun zone. Sparks were flying. Look, ladies and gentlemen, use lube.
Wasn't that the name of her drive, the fun zone, on that server?
Could have been.
So let's see what else we got.
What
I don't.
Talking about?
What?
What's that?
What?
Who's that?
Vegas sports books. What's this all about? I don't even. How do they lose money when the baseball season is over?
Okay, but in November,
People are betting on free agents.
No, that they're betting on. I think they're betting on the World Series, right?
Oh yeah.
But then also, it's like, who's going to win the World Series? Who's going to?
Oh, so the payouts were all done in November. So that's
exactly
got it. Okay,
exactly.
I was kind of curious as to, like, how did they lose more money in November than they did in October? But the World Series did finish, what, the first? I think it was the first, yeah.
Right. And so they lost $11.4 million, which is the most they've lost in a month in, like, 15 years. And by, like, $5 million, like, almost double because of the
over
the
all
Astros
sports or just
the
monthly
Dodgers.
Loss?
And
it
monthly
was
loss.
This, wow. For the sport of
baseball?
Just baseball.
Just on baseball.
A lot of Dodger fans were out there, huh? Betting.
My guess is the opposite.
Oh, that's true.
My guess is people were putting money on the Astros.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway.
Against the
expert think about.
Odds makers picking the Dodgers.
Yeah, but for the record, Vegas still made money for November. And of course, they made money every month. And they always make all the money because that's how the system's rigged. Please don't gamble, especially don't gamble on baseball. It's the worst thing you can do. If you have the urge to bet on baseball, please watch Bad Lieutenant.
Okay.
That whole movie revolves around him betting on the Dodgers against the Mets. And I'm going to tell you something right now. No more accurate description of how awful it is to bet on baseball than Bad Lieutenant. I'm not talking about the scene where he pulls over his two young girls and starts touching himself outside their window. Anyway, that's different.
I hope it is.
Yes. That's also terrible.
That doesn't happen in Vegas, does it? Well, at least not in a betting
casino. No. The thing is, it's totally legal in Vegas.
Yes.
That's the only place I've ever been flashed, John.
Oh.
But not by a man, for the record.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, I did go to a casino, and I came out with more money than I went in with. So
that does happen. But again, on average, it does not happen.
And it was only like the third, fourth time I've been to a casino. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm up.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. I always have this thing called the Vegas calculator, and that is when people go to Vegas, they say like, oh, yeah, no, I won like $1,000. But what they really mean was I bet 400 and won 600.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then what they say when they lose money, they say, nah, I just lost like $200. And what that means is that they lost $200 more than they were planning on losing.
Right, right.
So they were planning on just losing 400, but they lost 600.
Right.
So they only lost 200.
Right. I agree with that assessment. Yeah.
It's the Vegas calculator. No one wants to come back from Vegas and be like, no, I got my ass kicked. I don't know what I'm doing. And I kept throwing money at the table because it's addictive.
It is.
I just kept thinking, it's got to turn up black eventually, right? Wesley Snipes said so. Right. Sorry, that's a Passenger 57 joke, not a African-American joke.
Oh, okay.
Wesley Snipes says, always bet on black in Passenger 57, the movie.
Okay.
That may have been why he didn't pay his taxes. I don't know. But just to be clear, I was not making a racist joke.
He never paid his taxes ever because it was unconstitutional. So he just made that decision. And I think he wound up serving some time as a result of that. So that didn't work out too well. Let's see. Oh, David Ortiz gets his own TV show. Big Poppy Needs a Job.
Yes.
I haven't heard anything about this. So I'm assuming the premises is him going in for job interviews or...
I think it's him trying to get jobs. I don't know if he's
it's like Mike Rowe thing, you know.
Yeah, it's like, job. You know, oh look, this fun we'll have him doing this funny thing.
So is the premise like let me go and find, you know, now that I'm not playing baseball anymore, what do I want to do? And let me try all these different things.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. He's a delightful character.
He is. He should be fun. He's a fun guy.
I mean, I think you know, this is an untapped resource is charismatic athletes. I think you're going to see more of this is what I'm trying to say.
Great.
If it's done right, it's fine, right? That's the problem is if it's done wrong.
Well, I don't know if you're an ardent watcher of House Hunters International.
John, I think you know that I'm not.
But Shea Hildebrand was on an episode. He and his wife were looking to buy some property down in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
It really was interesting because Shea came across as a freewheeling, you know, former baseball player that has lots of money, and his wife came across as somebody who was concerned about if they were going to be able to pay their bills. So it was like,
Yeah.
You know, so you're sitting there watching going like, really, I don't make anywhere near the millions that he did, and they're worried about whether or not they're going to be able to get by?
Yeah, but sometimes people just worry about that stuff. Yeah. Men and women. I don't want to say women because that's going to sound like whatever. I know guys
right.
And
it doesn't
girls
matter how much thing. Money you make. There's yeah. still, you know, there's still that. But it just yeah. came
Some
across.
Some of the richest people I know are just like, oh no, I'm not paying for dinner.
Right. I'm not paying for dinner. Let's
they'll,
go. Let's
they'll
go
suggest a super expensive place. I went to a place with a multimillionaire, John. I'm going to tell you this story right now. We were invited up to near Palo Alto, and the guy was like, oh, hey, this is when we were filming Nowhere Girl. And it was like my wife and I were invited by this couple to this very nice restaurant. These are multimillionaires.
Any and chance like, they're oh, listening?
Yeah, no, Oprah ate there. No, they're listening? Maybe. I don't know. Who cares? Screw them. And so we look at the menu, and we're like, I'm not going to say we were broke at the time, but we're tight. Mm-hmm. I was making a movie, but it's not like I was getting paid for the movie. I think right. I made $500 off of Nowhere Girl. So they invite us out, and we're like, I'm like, every other time I've been invited out by really rich people, they just pay for it because they whatever, right? So we get there, and he starts ordering food off the menu. Oh, no, we got to get this. Oh, I read that when Oprah was here, she ate this thing. Let's get that. And I was like, oh, and then this wine. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, that sounds fine. And I'm just like, he's got to be paying for this, right? Like, he's picking everything. I didn't even get to pick my meal. Nope. When he came out, he's like, hey, so we'll just split it in half, right? So I didn't even get to, like, not order a lot of food in order to cut the bill down in half. Like sometimes I'm in a weird situation, I'll be like, oh no, I'll just get like an appetizer.
Right. Yeah.
And I know I'm going to have to pay for part of someone else's meal, but at least I'm mitigating the cost a little.
Right. You're having the quesadillas. No. Everyone else is having steak.
Full splitsies down the middle. It was basically all of our spending money for the trip.
Great. Thank you.
All of it.
Did he invest in the film?
He did not.
Nice. Nice guy.
He did not. Yeah. He did not invest in the film.
He saved some money that night. You spent a lot. He saved some.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. Nice move. Good for him. Okay.
Anyway, so Shea Hillenbrand, David Ortiz. This is how we got down TV this road guys, to the guy who made me spend all my whatever. Anyway, what else were we talking about? David Ortiz show. Anyway, I think it should be delightful, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, unless you just hate him because, you know, you don't like.
I didn't like him as a Red Sox player because I'm not a huge Red Sox fan. But I love his personality. It's big.
Oh, okay.
The guy's walks into a room and he fills the room. He's like Shaq, you know?
Yeah.
He has that
Shaq had a show like this, didn't he? I think it was like him trying other sports.
Could have been, yeah.
I think he stole that idea from what was the story on that? He stole it from who's that guy? The guard from the Suns, the Canadian guy.
Oh yeah, Nash, Steve Nash.
Thank you, Steve Nash. Yes. Mm-hmm. So Steve Nash had this idea. Shaq stole it.
Oh.
Or I should say, he blocked it. Am I right? In your face, Steve Nash. I'll see you in court. Not a basketball court. Court of law.
Right. Yeah, because I wonder, that would be an interesting one-on-one. Shaq versus Nash.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Yeah. Let's see it. Set it up. Reality show.
Yeah. You know what they could do? It could be a competition for who gets the rights to the show.
Could be, yeah. And it becomes its own show. And then everybody does the same thing. It becomes a...
No, let's keep going. Yeah. I think I've bored myself.
Puerto Rican Winter League schedule is ready to launch on January 4th.
Today, right?
Yeah, that would be great. Today, yeah.
Or yesterday or
next week
ago.
Or whenever you listen to it. But
back in January.
When was it scheduled to begin?
Well, they're doing a limited teams. They're not doing the full teams. I put this on the list just because I thought it was cool because Puerto Rico's been hit
still
so
ravaged.
Hard. And it's still ravaged and not everyone has power. And it's really awful. And I mean, it's so tough because it's 3,000 miles off the coast. Why is it even a U.S. territory? I don't know, but it is. And so they're fellow countrymen to us. Man, if it just hasn't been slow going, and it's just nice to see like, oh, this is cool to be able to have baseball. Because I remember, you know, with like 9/11, you remember like it was
unifying.
Like, God, we just get baseball back. Everything would be a little bit better, you know? So they're doing like a limited schedule, a limited number of teams, winter league that they normally do. And though I don't know if the cyclone bomb hit them.
I think they're clear to that. Maybe a little wind and rain. But that cyclone bomb has a pretty long tail. It stretches all the way down into Central America. So it's a big bomb.
Yeah. Anyway, that's just some good news. I thought we'd end this up with, look at this, David Ortiz gets on the show. That's good news for most people. Puerto Rican Winter League's firing up again. Last bit of good news, Mark Pryor is going to be the Dodgers bullpen coach.
Well, congratulations.
I know, it's not really that big a news, right? Like,
well, he can thank Dusty Baker for the end of his career.
I know, isn't he? That's why I think I put him on there. He's one of those guys. I wasn't a Cubs fan, but like, he was so awesome.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
He was so, was it a curveball? Is that what it was?
Curveball, fastball. Yeah, the curveball was devastating.
Crazy curveball. And it just, that one or two great years and then blew out his arm and bounced around. And look, maybe he'll, you know, reinvent himself as a coach. It's a little sad now that I'm thinking about it.
Way to end on a downer.
Wow. Hey, did you hear the Puerto Rican Winter League is starting up again?
Yeah. A new hope. Back to Star Wars. Everything goes back.
Speaking
to Star
of new
Wars.
Hopes, I new hope the next one doesn't suck as much as this one does.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. And it's the end of the trilogy, or the end of the nine episodes.
Methinks it will be the end of nothing, John, and it will just keep going.
What's left to wrap up, though? Everyone's dead.
There's nothing to wrap up. They're just going to keep telling stories.
Han's
gone. They own the rights to everything.
Han's gone. Leia's physically, in the actress sense, gone, so they're going to have to write her off. And yeah. Luke, we don't know, but we, you know, he's going to be in that ethereal gas presence, I'm assuming, for the next episode.
Right.
So, yeah. So he'll live
maybe
on.
He can yuck it up with Yoda. Maybe they could do like a buddy film, sort of like an in-between the episode 8 and episode 9. It'll be like Yoda and Luke on the road.
Maybe that'll be a spinoff.
Jedi road trip.
Tatooine, here we come.
Oh, man.
Going to go to all the famous cantinas and all the...
Guaranteed makes $1 billion.
Yeah, it will. It'll have tons of marketing and licensing toys and merchandising opportunities. That's going to be great. I hope Rian is listening.
Although, you know what's hilarious about that is that's how my wife was pronouncing it too.
Really? So,
and I was like, okay, enough of this Rian stuff.
I always thought it was Ryan too, and I heard somebody pronounce it that way on a TV show.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I guess it's a fancy pronunciation. Yeah. So.
No, it's not how you pronounce it.
Ryan.
Ryan. R-I-A-N. Ryan.
Yeah, and he's not involved with the writing of the next show, so next movie.
Oh my
so.
God. Thank.
We'll see what we come up with.
Thank Yoda's ghost for that.
You ready to move on to starting nine?
Let's do it.
So in honor of Coachella.
Yeah, the Coachella lineups were released this week, and I thought it would be fun to do a starting nine baseball players based off of Coachella performers.
For this year's Coachella.
For this year's Coachella.
Okay, great.
Now, I want to be very clear about this. This could have been the easiest one that there was ever to do, because some of the Coachella names are always crazy balls. So what I wanted to do is limit to myself to names that most people have already heard.
Okay.
So I'm not doing shortcuts like, oh, yeah, it's Jose Altuve, but the band's name is like Tuve and the Machine or whatever.
So it's people will recognize these band names.
Yeah, most people will know these, right? Okay. Like first up, The Weeknd or Inciarte.
Okay, that's a good one.
Right?
Yeah.
The Weeknd headlining Friday night show, I guess before The Weeknd? I'm not sure how that works.
Pre-weekend?
Yeah. Maybe if he had that extra E in his name, they would have put him on Saturday or Sunday. Not sure what the rules are. Or maybe he just has it in his contract. No, I don't ever perform on The Weeknd. It's right. Kind of my thing.
Right.
All right, so then to keep our Shin Soo Chu thing going, I got Shin Soo Portugal the Man. Portugal the Man. Everyone knows. A lot of people know who Portugal the Man is. Is R. Matt Holliday, Vid Byrne.
What?
From Talking Heads. Byrne. David Matt Byrne. Holliday, Vid Byrne.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. CJ Cromio.
That's good.
Cromio. Mm-hmm. CJ Crone. CJ Cronemio. How about that? That's probably a better way to say it. CJ Cronemio.
Cronemio.
Yeah. Tyler Chatwood, the creator.
Who's that?
Tyler, the creator.
I don't know. Never heard of it.
John Alt-J.
Okay.
The band Alt-J.
Never heard of them.
Okay, so I'm getting the sense that you like them better when you know who they are.
Oh, no. If it's clever, sure, but I don't
know. No. But I'm saying like it strikes a chord
if
you know who they are.
Right.
Because you're also trying to figure out if you know the band. So I think it takes away from some of the joke. That's all right. We'll continue on.
Go ahead.
Miguel St. No Vincent. Let me tell you something about St. No Vincent, by the way.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
They played a local gig. What's that?
I do know who they are.
Okay. They played a local gig here in L.A. 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I tapped them once to watch. Boom. I actually tapped them. And I had industry folks who were like, what are you talking about, man? I'm talking about music industry folks. And they were like, Jed, this is straight up pop music goodness, like alternative, whatever. Here's the thing, John. I have a great ear for alternative pop music, a great ear. You know what I use it for? Nothing. Anyway, moving on.
Don't you have a favorite band, Rabbit something?
Frightened Rabbits. That's
Frightened
right.
Rabbits, right.
Frightened Rabbit, yeah. Well, it's... Frightened Rabbit. Yes,
it's not plural. Just
their,
one.
Their Twitter handle is plural.
Oh.
It's Frabbits.
Frabbits.
But it's Frightened Rabbit is the band. Yes, that's my favorite band. They're awesome.
I'll have to hear a song or two from them.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they don't really do like pop songs. So they're more do like emotional stuff. But if you've seen Nowhere Girl, the title sequence is Frightened Rabbit. And they have another song in the film too.
Now, are these people that you knew?
I did not know them, no.
But you tracked them down so that they could participate in your film.
Yeah, so I had a music supervisor track down all that we could. And then this person also had a tie-in to a bunch of sort of undiscovered bands. And so I think half the bands that we had deals with when we started the editing, by the time that we had done the editing,
they became popular.
They didn't become popular, but they all had deals.
Oh, that's good.
So, but we had all the rights to their music for free. So
that was good.
Yeah, it was pretty clever of us.
So you knew them back then.
I have a very good ear for that, specifically that genre of music.
Fantastic. I'm glad you're doing something with it.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts.
So I don't think we've got to nine yet. What else we got?
Yeah, no. Here we go. I got a couple more. Jamie Roquai Garcia.
They're still around?
Yeah.
Jamiroquai still around?
Yeah.
Wow. Jamiroquai's still around. That's cool.
How about Jacob Beyonce Ellsbury?
I didn't know Beyonce was playing at Coachella.
Beyonce is playing, yeah. Had to cancel last year because of the baby.
Right.
Edwin Eminem Encarnacion. Eminem Carnacion. That's what
it's
it is.
It's a pretty big lineup we got going
Edwin Eminem Carnacion. Yeah, it is a good lineup,
Beyonce,
actually.
The Weeknd.
But I will say this year, more so than ever, it's like, oh, that's a really good top open headliners. And then below that, even for me, I follow music pretty well. It's a lot of like, oh, I've never really heard of any of those.
So that's the headliners, and then there's a big drop off below that?
Yeah, they're doing like a, was it Stars and Scrubs, the fantasy baseball thing where you spend all your money on expensive players and then just get $1 players to fill out your roster. It's called Stars and Scrubs system, which is, I've won a league doing that before. And then like our league is a Stars and Scrubs league.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is no better way to win our league than to do Stars and Scrubs.
I'll take that into consideration.
The thing is, you got to hit with the $1 players. You can't whatever.
Got it.
But anyway, that's all I got on the starting nine, John.
It's good. Coachella. Hang out in the desert with Eminem and Beyonce and The Weeknd.
And Beyonce's baby. Pre-Weeknd.
And baby.
But to be clear, The Weeknd is not playing on The Weeknd. It's going to be confusing for a lot of people because they are high out of their minds. This will be the first Coachella with recreational pot. This will be the first time people will be able to do drugs at Coachella, John.
Right. Unless the feds show up.
John, that was my joke that people are obviously already doing drugs at
Right, got it.
Coachella. God damn it, John. Your joke was pretty good, though.
Well, my son was recently at... that's Nevada. It doesn't matter. Never mind.
Oh, is he doing drugs? Is he on the pot?
No. I was talking about... Well, he can be on the pot out here because it's legal in Washington.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. No judgments.
No, he had gone to Burning Man, which is in Nevada, not California, so...
Yes.
Drug-free.
Yes, that is a very drug-free environment.
Well, they have the cops there, so there's like, they bust you. They bust you down.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do.
The cops, they're there to make sure everybody has fun, which is the way it should be. Okay, let's move on. You've got a little new segment here.
Yeah. John,
rapid fire.
I'm already regretting this, but let's try it.
Okay, New Year's resolutions for each team. Is this going to be like a rapid fire thing?
I'm hoping that I can just shut my mouth and just spit out one resolution for each team.
And begin.
Braves. Hey, how about this? You say the team, I'll say the resolution.
Sounds good. Braves.
Go. Okay. Stop spending money illegally on the international players.
The Mets.
Stop getting all your pitchers injured.
The Phillies.
Figure out what the hell you're actually doing with your team. Don't waste money on free agents who won't be with your team by the time you're actually ready to contend.
And bring Ruben Amaro back.
No, don't. Anything but that.
And he's isn't he a coach now with the Red Sox?
No, I think he was last year. He was.
Oh, okay.
And then he's on someone else's team. Is like a
okay.
Because I think he was with John Farrell, right? He was part of John Farrell's squad.
Gotcha. Okay, Nationals.
You know what I'm going to say? The easy one is get a catcher. JT Realmuto. That's the easy one. I won't get into the Bryce Harper stuff. They should do whatever they want with him.
The newly married Bryce Harper.
That's right.
Yeah. Very
confused. Family man.
Family man.
Not really. Still a jerk.
The Marlins.
Get thine head out of thine butt. But trade away Realmuto. Trade away Justin Bour. Not Justin Bour.
Yelich.
Christian Yelich. And just leave poor old Justin Bour
by himself.
All by himself.
And he'll get a gift bag for
yes,
staying.
One of those Jeter gift bags. I give these to ladies that I've screwed. I'm screwing you. Here's a gift bag. What do we got?
Red Sox.
Red Sox. JD Martinez. Make it happen.
Yankees.
Starting pitching is what you need, but it's okay with me if you don't do it because I don't mind if you finish second place.
The Blue Jays.
Time to rebuild. Trade Josh Donaldson to the Cardinals.
Ooh, Orioles.
Time to rebuild. Trade off Manny Machado to the Red Sox, which is the rumor. And anything that's not nailed down.
The Rays.
Keep on keeping on. That's awful. That's a terrible resolution.
Get a new park.
Hey, you know what? Get a new park.
Yeah.
That's it, John. Thank you.
Pirates.
Oh, figure out that you're not actually contenders anymore.
Cardinals.
Go all in. Get you Darvish. Get Josh Donaldson. Make it happen. It's a winnable division. The Cubs have come down, and they keep putting Kyle Schwarber out in left field, which makes the team worse all the way around.
Cubs.
Trade Kyle Schwarber. Boom. I said it. Trade Kyle Schwarber.
And they'll get a boatload for him, too, if they do.
They would get a really good return.
Yeah.
He's an American League player.
Yeah.
Don't let him wander around your outfield like a hobo.
He's fun to watch out there, though.
He... Yes, he is fun to watch.
Brewers.
Brewers. I don't have one for them.
Realize your potential this year.
That sounds like a fortune cookie, though, right? But what's the resolution, right? What's their New Year's resolution? Stay the course? Is that it?
Stay the course. Sign a quality starting pitcher. You Darvish.
Not that
they will, but they need an ace. They don't have an ace. The Reds.
You know what my resolution is for them is let's see how it goes. Let's see how the first 3 months goes for the Brewers. Then you make your move, okay, or you just don't make your move.
I thought you were talking about the Reds, and I'm like, really?
There's not much
going on there.
The Reds.
The Reds.
Keep trying to develop starting pitching. You need starting pitching in that park.
Astros.
Victory lap, man. I keep having great prospects and a huge farm system, the top 10 farm system that keeps generating low-cost players and, you know, keep doing that.
Angels.
Ooh, Angels. What do they need? I guess they're set, right?
Yeah, it's Shohei.
Yeah.
Shohei.
Yeah, they did theirs. They did their – you know what? They started their diet before the New Year's. They got Ohtani. That was their resolution. That they got it already. Some people do that. They're like, oh, I'm in a New Year's resolution. Then they start on like December 28th. That's okay. I think if you start at any time in December on your New Year's resolutions, I think that's okay.
They started. They're good.
Yeah.
They're primed. How about the Rangers?
Man, the Rangers are a mess, aren't they? They got no starting pitching. They're putting together one of these softball teams that are so great to watch if you're not a Rangers fan. I don't know, man. They got to get starting pitching. They got to get starting pitching.
Who is a potential? Is Jake Arrieta?
Darvish. Darvish is in the mix. I think Arrieta is the stay away guy. I think he's the guy that people sign and go, oh, well, that's $20 million a year down the train. No offense, Jake Arrieta, if you're listening to this. You had a hell of a run. You won a World Series.
And thank you for listening.
Yes. Also, please rate and review, but also give a good review and a good rating. So maybe, Jake, you stay out of this one. The other listeners can go give a nice review.
We'd appreciate it.
Go into iTunes, spend a minute, subscribe. You know the one trick you can do, John? You can unsubscribe and then subscribe. Now,
ooh,
I don't want to push that too hard because I feel like with our listeners, If they unsubscribe, they might just be like, yeah, you know what? That's probably for the best anyway.
That was too easy. I'm done. How about Oakland?
New stadium.
That would be good, yeah. Mariners.
I don't know. I like their D. Gordon move. I like that move. I'm not sure how it all works out. But you know what the resolution's got to be for Jerry DePoto? Stop trading everything.
Right. If it's not nailed down, it gets traded.
Like, you're a contender. Stop doing this.
They need a pitcher. They need a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
Top of the rotation to complement Paxton. Because Felix is a shell of his former
self.
Yeah,
he's bottoming out in terms of...
How about those Padres?
Padres, keep only one set of medical books. No more secret medical books that we hide from other teams, AJ Preller, and your 1 month suspension.
How about the Dodgers?
Got to trade Mad Kemp. Got to get under the salary tax or the salary cap, the luxury tax. I mean, it sounds stupid to say that because of the Dodgers, but like, if you're going to do it, just do it.
Especially
man.
With him, because the value.
Yeah, trade him to the American League. Get something for him. You put him in the American League, he's back to being one of my favorite players again.
How about the Giants?
The Giants need to stop thinking that they're anywhere near a 500 team. Don't sign any free agents. You're not close. This isn't like, oh, hey. The thing is, they have nothing to trade. They have nothing. Like, no one wants any of their players on their active roster except for Bumgarner. And you can't trade Bumgarner.
No.
What do you do?
Bumgarner and Posey are the only untouchables there.
That's true. Posey would return a thing. But you got to keep them. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, hey, I'd rather be traded to a contender. No. Sorry. You don't get to be traded to a contender because we gave you three World Series, and that's how it goes. They are not contenders, John. This is barely a 75.
But I think they think they are.
Oh, no, they absolutely do. They absolutely do. They just got Evan Longoria.
So you're saying you're not buying it?
I'm not buying it, John.
Okay. How about those Rockies?
More closers, more relief pitchers, all of them. Just everyone that's out there, just all of them. Yeah. Yeah. Forget about starters. Yeah. Just everyone get out there.
12 relievers, and that way you can pitch like an inning every other day. That would work out. I think that would work. I want to try it. I want to buy a team.
I like it.
Give it a shot. The D-backs.
Here's the thing.
Sign J.D. Martinez.
No. The thing about the Diamondbacks is it's one of the few teams where I don't really know like what their financial situation is. And I'm not really sure what they should do. Like, I know they're right up against it financially as far as I know. But I don't know how right up against it they are. They were talking about trading, what's his face? The pitcher.
Greinke.
Zach Greinke. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the resolution, is wait till Darvish signs and see who's still, and see if you can get out from underneath that Greinke contract. That's a big contract, man. Mm-hmm. That was a bad move by them to outbid the Dodgers. That was a really bad move.
Well, Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa are no longer there, and that was their
deal. Was that their deal?
That was in their era, yeah.
Okay,
I think that's the end of their era.
Yeah, it was a bad move.
I believe, yeah. How about the Tigers?
Tigers? Yikes. Have lots of promotional nights, because otherwise fans will not show up.
Indians.
Forget about the streaks. Get back to the World Series. Trade for Manny Machado.
Ooh.
Ooh, dog. Would that be something or what?
That would be a big trade.
Hey, you know who's potentially like an amazing, amazing player? Is their guy, Bradley Zimmer?
Mm-hmm.
His core numbers, and I don't want to get too into this stuff because no one cares. His core numbers are like MVP caliber numbers. Like his... batted ball speed, his defense. Player to watch out for, Bradley Zimmer. Got injured last year, was showing some signs of some stuff, but then got injured. Great defender. I think they're an outfielder short there, right, in Cleveland? But I don't know. I guess if you get Manny Machado, then you got to put, what's his name in the outfield? Kipnis?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Chisenhall and Kipnis in the outfield, is that really good?
Former infielders in the outfield?
Yeah, maybe not Machado. There's just not a lot of outfielders that can add to a team's value like that Indians, you know. They signed Alonso, Launder, right. Launder Alonso, Launder.
Yonder Alonso.
Yonder. they acquired Yonder Alonso. That's the Alonzo that's over yonder, as opposed to the Alonzo that's closer.
The yonder
that's
Alonzo.
That's a little Midwest humor there, right. John. All right.
Minnesota Twins.
Darvish? Is that they're still in the running for Darvish, aren't they?
I believe so.
Yeah.
A replacement for Miguel Sano?
Here's the thing. Stop sexually assaulting photojournalists.
Yeah, that would be good.
Now, that, I don't want to put that up because that's not for the team, though technically the team should definitely not do that. They should definitely not be sexually assaulting photojournalists. Yeah, that's all I got.
White Sox.
White Sox, don't give away your prospects. I heard someone talking about how they should trade for Christian Yelich.
They restocked, so why would they do that?
Yeah.
They don't need
but that. Because people are talking about how good that Yelich contract is.
It's good, but they would have to give up three prospects, four prospects.
Exactly. They'd have to give up their lottery tickets, but like, why not keep the lottery tickets and see if one of them turns into Christian Yelich?
Right, or two of them. Then that's a win-win. Right.
And then it's a win-win-win.
For everybody.
For everyone except Christian Yelich. How awful would that be? I want out of Miami. Get me out of here. You got it, Christian. You're going to the Chicago White Sox.
Could be worse. Could go to the Reds. That to me,
the White Sox are the worst right now.
But since
now you know the Tigers might be the worst. I don't know. That's how fortunate are the Indians?
Yeah,
basically they have three rebuilding teams in their division.
Yeah. Last but not least, Kansas City Royals.
Kansas City Royals, don't sign Eric Hosmer. But they're probably going to sign Eric Hosmer.
Probably.
But if they got to spend money on something, right?
If I'm Hosmer, though, I'd be sitting there going, I've been here. We've won a World Series. We've gone to two. We're going to be stripped of our two other free agents. We're going to be rebuilding. Don't know if, this
market. But here's how the thought continues, John. Nobody wants me other than that awful team over in San Diego where the taxes in that state are through the roof.
That's true.
Maybe
that's
I'll just stay in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And be a hero. I mean, if he stays in Kansas City, they put a statue up.
Right, you know he's a George Brett type, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He becomes the next George Brett of Kansas City.
I agree.
He's won a World Series, and then he's got all the money he could ever need. Maybe that's the move.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well done, though. You did it in less than 15 minutes.
I feel like you did a pretty good job on that, John.
You did. And it even came across as you were just pulling those all out of thin air.
I was.
Wow, I'm even more impressed. I might start listening to this podcast.
John, I'm not doing research for this goddamn podcast.
Winging it.
Remember when I used to do like all kinds of research and stuff? And then it was just like, no one cares. And I don't remember the stuff. I do research and then I have notes and then I got to find the notes. And I was like, oh, I got a really good joke for that thing. And then I'll forget it. And then it's like, well, why did I even bother writing down that joke, John? Why did I even bring up the story if I can't even remember where the joke
is? Why do we even do this podcast?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm one of our biggest fans. I listen to it every time we put it up.
Me too.
I usually just listen to like every other one or every third one for quality. I've been like, I actually like it. I think we're fun. We have a good time.
It's good times.
Plus, like no one else in my life talks to me about baseball. So this is like for whatever reason in Los Angeles, I just happen to be friends with no one that likes baseball. The one friend I did have that loved baseball died.
Oof.
I don't think there was a connection there. But anyway, still.
Yeah, that's too bad. And probably none of your other friends want to like baseball.
They're like, we don't want to die.
We don't want to die. If we like baseball and we're your friend, we're goners.
I have one ex-girlfriend that's a Dodgers fan. It's kind of like every time they do something well, she'll like send me a message or something like, oh, hey, that's cool. That's cool.
Let's go out to like Chavez Ravine together and catch a game.
Yeah, okay, buddy. All right. I got the Mike Pence rule in full effect.
That's funny. Extra innings time.
All right.
Let's take a look outside of the world of baseball.
Yes.
We only have a few things here.
Yeah.
Some exciting.
I mean, look, I want to be very clear, John. There's a million things outside the world of baseball going on. And we just can't start getting into all of them because, I mean, like daily there's stuff that's like makes you wonder whether we're actually living in some like some simulation that's gone haywire.
Well, I like the first bullet point here.
Okay, good.
Because I'm a Raiders fan.
Yeah.
Lifelong Raiders fan. And this makes so much sense to have Gruden come back. And I mean, Del Rio took this team from despair to the precipice and then regressed a little bit. This is a good team. Getting Gruden back in, I think changes. That doesn't mean they're going to win a Super Bowl, but it's going to change the culture. It's going to take it to the next step.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah, so that's the rumor, is that he's going to jump out of the booth. And maybe that has something to do with ESPN's cutbacks, too. I wondered if that was has something to do. Maybe his contract's up, and they're losing money all over the place. So I think their digital's doing
well. He's asked every year. He's been asked every year for the last 8-9 years since he left the sidelines. Right. And he actually has reached out to a couple of his would-be coaches. Started, right. You know,
putting the band back together.
Yeah, putting the band back together. Right, exactly.
And the rumor is that it's not that he might do it, that he's expected to do it.
Right.
This is,
and that Davis wouldn't have, Davis wouldn't have pulled the trigger within seconds after the final game. I mean, I think he caught Del Rio as he was walking off the field and said, "Yeah, you're done."
Yeah,
because Del Rio was announced.
He was
press
like, "Go
conference.
Jump in Del Rio." You know what I'm saying?
You're done here.
Yeah,
your time is done.
Because Rio is Spanish for river.
Got it.
Go jump in a river.
So it'll be exciting news to see. You know, Gruden will get a piece of the team potentially. It has to be approved by the league, but they're looking to give him an ownership share in addition to a $10 million a year contract and whatever else he wants, apparently.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
His own Flobee for his haircuts.
Yeah, the Flobee? Styling. Yeah, vacuum, sure. Absolutely. Attach it to your vacuum cleaner and cut your hair.
Yeah.
Good times.
It's great.
This next story is kind of interesting because the timing of this couldn't have been worse, right? I know I said initially timed the worst, but, you know, the Jeff Sessions thing today, and then Mike Tyson breaks ground on a marijuana ranch.
40-acre marijuana ranch. Here's the thing. When you read a headline that says Mike Tyson breaks ground on 40-acre marijuana ranch in California, the first thought is this The Onion? The second thought is, it's Mike Tyson, so it could be The Onion. Or it could just be real life. Or it could be this Mike Tyson alternate dimension that we all currently live in. Yes, it's a true story. He's opening a marijuana ranch.
Is it a ranch to grow marijuana, or is it a ranch to come and smoke marijuana? Like a vacation destination?
It'll be to grow. Okay. I imagine they will be smoking the hell out of it. But it's to grow it.
So didn't he like declare bankruptcy like 10 years ago and was down and out and, you know, just kind of had to rebuild his life, had a TV show and did movies, did whatever he could. Kind of like Nicolas Cage, you know, he was in everything. You saw him everywhere.
Yeah, that's why Nicolas Cage is in so many of those
B movies,
Netflix
C movies.
B movies. Yeah, exactly. C movies. Technically, they are B movies, even though that is maybe overselling them a little bit. I don't know if Nicolas Cage is opening a marijuana ranch, but who knows?
We'll see.
If he is, he's probably just trying to find the, you know.
It's going to be a reality show.
The buried treasure from the.
It's going to be a reality show tied into this some way.
Yeah, probably, right?
Feel it coming on. Yeah. A year or two down the road, we'll have celebrities coming to the ranch.
And they're going to have like warnings on his pot. It's like a warning. This was made by Mike Tyson. You may turn into Mike Tyson. This may be why he's so crazy, so be careful.
Right. He ain't punch drunk. Okay, the last story, I have no idea who Logan Paul is, so
okay,
you're
so
have to help me out with that.
Part of this is like, I want to put this in because like this is a very big news item. So this YouTube celebrity entertainer guy, Logan Paul, went and filmed in the suicide forest in Japan. You've heard of that place, right?
I have not.
It's anyway, so there's this forest at the base of Mount Fuji where a lot of people go to commit suicide. And like it's anyway, so while he was filming, he came across someone who had committed suicide. And he filmed it and he was being a jackass and all this stuff, and he got huge blowback and
tons of viewers.
Well, he got 6 million views before it got pulled, and he pulled it. And like for whatever reason, YouTube had it in like their trending videos, and like that's a manually curated thing. Mm-hmm. They don't just automatically go in there. Like, so a human being has to go, okay, they have a video of seeing a dead body in a forest. Okay, good. Let's put that on the list. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some blame to go around here. I'm actually going to do a little bit of the other side of this is, yeah, he's a jerk, and he should not be filming in the suicide forest. These are people who are actually committing suicide. but he's just trying to make videos. But people get all upset about YouTube celebrities. But really, they're just upset that there's a guy out there making stupid videos and making millions of dollars. That's what they're upset about.
And because they have a They have a voice, a megaphone that they can complain about it in social media. So
yeah,
everybody complains about everything. That's what social media has become.
And everyone complains about everything. But it becomes like this thing of like, and I, you know, like, oh, he's a Vine star or he's a, like, but yeah, but so what? Right. Like the guy's creating content. Like we're not, it's not all on television and movies anymore. And this would be like, and I'm not saying it's the same thing as a stand-up comic, but 50 years ago, you would go see stand-up comics.
Commit suicide in the forest.
There were a lot of suicides among stand-up comics. No, like it's an alternative form of entertainment. Like, is it the lowest common denominator? Yes. If I had a child, would I want them watching it? Absolutely not. I think it would be, I don't know, harmful, but it would be not good for them. Anyway, I'm trying to go the other way. The guy seems like he feels like he messed up. He's apologized. He's taken a break from videos or whatever. But I think a lot of this backlash is, here's a successful person, and let's tear him down because he made a mistake. And he made a mistake, and no, I didn't make a mistake. I'm going to go do it again. I'll be out there next week. I hope I find two bodies.
I hope I find them while they're committing suicide. Wouldn't that be awesome?
But I feel like a lot of it's just like backlash to YouTube celebrity and like that concept that there can be people who are celebrities just from making stupid videos.
And I have the one thing that last year has proven to me, political, just name it, anything under the sun, the whole stuff in Hollywood, everything, is that the megaphone for everybody who just wants to sit on their couch and whine is social media. And they're going to find anything to just blast.
Right. And they do this mob thing, right? Where they're like, everyone gathers together. We're like, we're going to locust on this person, this man or woman, and we're going to destroy them.
Well, even with the Star Wars film, where they had the guy that was so upset that they didn't follow the alternative or the extended universe, so he built a bot program to go and just downrate the movie on IMDb. Not IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, or one of those score things. So it's like this brigade of basement dwellers are, you know, standing up and trying to make the film look bad because
it's not just basement dwellers, man. It's like professionals, it's journalists. Remember that one lady who made that off-color joke about black people and AIDS in Africa before she got on her flight?
Yes.
And by the time she landed, her life was completely over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because someone decided that they needed to like out this person as a monster, but they had just shared it on social media thinking like, I'm just sharing this with my friends. Like it's a bad joke. Right. Okay, fine. I'll delete it. But no, it's like forever. Yeah. And that person will have to change their name because whenever you search them,
career's over. Yeah.
And I don't think that that's appropriate. I don't think if someone, the scale of response is too severe to almost everything. And so, like, then everything just blurs together. So you have, like, this Miguel Sano thing, right, where he's... But, like, it's... No one cares anymore. Like, you chew through it, and it's gone. And then it's like this...
Right. What's next?
You know, we're off to the other thing. And now we're off to the other crazy thing that Donald Trump did. And then we're off to the other crazy thing that the guy from the DNC co-chair, or Keith Ellison, posted some book on him holding a book. It's like an Antifa book. Like, hey, this is what Donald Trump's scared of. And like in the book, it openly advocates for violence against free speech. Like, hey, DNC guy, let's maybe slow things down just a little bit here. And let's think about what we're doing. Like, no, then it's like, no, I'm all upset about this crazy thing. And then guns and I'm all crazy. And you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way, John. Happy New Year.